Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing here today? I tell you what, for me, I'm glad today is here. And you know why? Because I've been interviewing politicians left and right for 2.5 weeks now. I'm ready for a little break. I know that the people are ready for a little break, but my final guest here today, unless somebody gives me a call who didn't want to come on and has changed their mind, my final day today is June 9th, and I am here with Bob Fisher, who is Greenwood County Council District Number 7. He's been the councilman. He is up for re-election, and he is here today. How you doing today, Bob?
I am doing wonderful, Anne. Thank you for having me on the air.
Absolutely. We need to know what goes on in county council because you know what? County council is one of those bodies that controls our lives, some aspects, because of the decisions that they make.
You're right. We make a lot of decisions. The biggest is what we're going to do with your money because people say they tax the money or, oh, we got to give you. No, we send you a bill and you have to pay it. And when you take that bill and you write that check, most people do not enjoy writing that check. So we need to be very careful how we spend this money and make sure we get the best out of it.
That's right. Now, you got on to County Council, what, 4 years ago?
Correct.
4 years ago. And not only are you on County Council, that's kind of a part-time job, isn't it?
Correct. That is a part-time job.
It's a part-time job, but I understand it takes a lot of time.
It does. I run a small business. It's, well, for 27 years, it was Emerald Welding, 404 Dixie Drive, Hodges. So it's even in the district. Then, several years ago, about the time I got elected, I sold off two-thirds of the business to a guy who had worked with me, David Whitehead. He's an excellent fabricator. And he's taken that part. I still do roll coverings and roll repairs, and my biggest customer is Millikan Textiles. So it's been a
It's a
good.
big customer.
Oh, it is a big customer.
That's right.
They're a real good customer.
Yep.
But as far as part-time and what I did, I've got a multi-engine commercial pilot's license, and that was always my passion. I enjoyed flying. Since I've been elected, I'm flying maybe once, twice a year, my plane. It's just there's so much stuff to be done. And it takes more time than I thought, but it is rewarding in a lot of ways when you see something that you've done for the citizens and you've made their lives better. It's just really rewarding.
Now, District 7 covers what part?
Basically, if you take going up 25, you hit Deadfall Road, everything from Deadfall Road north, Deadfall Road, it runs all the way out by the airport. It goes out to Harris Bridge Landing, the left side of that road, everything up through Ware Shoals until you run out of the county.
So you run out of the county. So that's a pretty large district.
It is. It's a large rural district. We have the two towns there of Hodges and Ware Shoals. We have some very good communities, and it's a really nice place. I've lived in Hodges my entire life. I'm 56 years old. And with this, I now have 4 generations of my family. And the funny thing about running in this campaign, going back and running again, I'm coming across there are kids that, well, they were kids. We were kids together, went to Hodges School together. And now they've grown up,
And they
still
have
live in the
kids.
district. They have kids and grandkids. Went to vocational school. It's now called Career Center. Then we call it vocational or voc. And some of the guys from Ware Shoals, they're still living in Ware Shoals with their families.
Why do you think that is? Why do people stay in Greenwood, Hodges, Ware Shoals? People, this is a phenomena, I think, for our area that people grow up and they don't leave.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with mentality of this area. A lot of people like to, when they get married, they move into their first house, and then they move into another neighborhood for the next house, or they go chasing a job somewhere else, and they get scattered. Around here, we grew up loving our families, our friends. We enjoyed the lifestyle we have. And as long as the family, this attitude continues, and we've got gainful employment where our children and grandchildren can find good paying jobs, I think it will continue as long as we can protect the environment and keep it what it is.
Well, that brings up a question then, doesn't it? Employment and good employment opportunities in this area. And although the Partnership Alliance is really the ones that are responsible for getting people in here, County Council plays a part in that too.
Well, it does. Partnership Alliance has the task of going out and recruiting. And it's not just the Partnership Alliance, but there's a state division, there's local, there's a lot of people reaching out. And as a county, we offer incentive packages to draw these companies in. And the Partnership Alliance has brought in some good, and there's some things that we can't say. There appears to be some really good jobs on the horizon for Greenwood.
Sure.
And I'm proud to be part of that. The Colgate Palm Olive has taken a while.
Yes,
they are running a little behind schedule, and I did a lot of weld inspections and dealt with some of the contractors up there, and they have been some nice people. The contractors, they've really been nice to work with, and they've explained why, and it would take way too long to get into, but they've actually went and done more than they originally planned, and they had some setbacks, but they are now hiring people, and they are now running some lines, getting a product set, so I'm very excited to see them coming online.
Any idea when it actually, I mean, I know they're doing a little bit out there. Any idea when they'll be full-blown?
I have not heard a date yet.
Okay. Sometime this year?
I'm thinking it is.
Okay. All right. Well, now, as far as people getting jobs, you know, one of the questions that we have talked about with many of our people here is the quality of our workforce here in Greenwood. One of the things that's on the drawing board that I understand is one of the top projects is a new, a manufacturing training center that brings will help bring our people at Piedmont Tech. It's part of the 1 cent penny sales tax that will play a portion in that. What do you think about that?
Well, that was actually an item that was on the agenda long before I was on council. I found out about it after I got elected, and it was a deal of Piedmont Tech has agreed to work with industry to do some specific training for different jobs.
Well, and that's how they make a lot of their money, is doing training for companies and retraining, and as things change, bringing new people on board.
And some promises were made to industry before I got there for this. And I'm not going to go back on the previous council's decision and say, oh, no, we can't do this. So I'm going to go for it and say it will be a great thing to help the citizens or to help the industry get the citizens that are trained for a work, you know, the employees.
Well, that's something
for
really that I guess we could say is needed, because as we look at industry coming into this area, we want to make sure that there's a workforce that can do the job.
Well, it's getting to the point that there are a lot of people out there with advanced degrees and such, but used to be the day that you graduated high school, you went and got a job somewhere, and you were trained on the job. Nowadays, there's more training needed for the average job, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a full degree, but you need to know what this company wants done, how they do it. And it's becoming more popular all around the nation, and we're just keeping up with what's going on.
Sure.
In the rest of the world.
So having this training center is going to be a help on new businesses.
Yes.
Now, one of the other questions that is out there is I understand that we're out of product to get new businesses in here. I understand we have what's called green space to get companies in here, but companies want a building already built and ready to go. Where does council, or where does your position as far as council, as far as the growing of the Greenwood economy and having inventory, as they say, to bring them here to Greenwood?
I would like to be able to say, yes, let's just build a big multi-million dollar building and let it sit. And when they first started talking about this, they were talking about the one over in Abbeville that's been sitting there for, 4 years now? And you go up 25 toward Greenville, and there's a lot of them sitting empty. So I understand from the Partnership Alliance's point, giving them a big building, a big box to sell, makes their job a lot easier. Mm-hmm. I do understand that. But as far as for the citizens' return on investment, because I don't want to end up with something that we end up having to give away to get a customer in here, because they come here and they're comparing us to Abbeville and it's the same size building, then we have to discount to get someone. So I've not seen the numbers that prove it worthwhile. The situation is this will go by committee once the penny sales tax is taken out. To do the penny sales tax, it's, the county says, hey, we want to do a penny sales tax. Then by state law, we have to turn it over to committee.
Right.
And step back and let them do it. Now, it's up to the committee to decide what goes. And if it makes the committee's recommendations and list, then that's what we get.
Well, I understand that we're at the, what, not the committee, but the group that is putting them in order, deciding which ones will be up. Is that correct? And then it will go to county council, and county council has to vote straight up, straight down to put it on the ballot.
Correct.
Okay. So as they're moving this thing forward, it's just kind of a wait and see where the committee, the commissioners, it's the commissioners, decide to say, shall we go forth or shall we not?
That's correct.
Okay. So at this point, it's a waiting game. And I understand, I think I heard that that building is number 11 or something right now on the list. It could move up, it could move down.
I have tried to not follow this too close because it keeps changing back and forth, and there's all kind of people speculating and making rumors. And as far as the council, we're really out of this until they get through. And
are you glad you're out of it?
Yes, in a way, I really am, because the county council, we got into this talking about, the main reason we were talking about a penny sales tax was to fix our fire system. It has to be fixed so every citizen has a reasonable fire coverage. And this was seemed to be the best way to get a hold to the money without a big increase in millage. So,
how much was the fire plan going to cost?
Well, it depends upon to what level we carry it. But it's millions, and I don't remember the exact amount, but it's millions.
Okay, so now when that came about, so that's how that started to begin with for the penny sales tax.
It is, and once you get into it, and then once other people heard the county council's talking about a penny sales tax,
then it
a lot of groups said, oh, we want this. And at first, I was glad to say, if we could just have this penny sales tax with nothing but the fire system, I'd be happy with that. But then we started talking about other issues, and to me it's infrastructure issues. Roads, and the roads in this county, we do need to do some work. I want the state to take care of their roads.
Correct.
But the county doesn't even have enough money to take care of its roads. We're doing the best we got with what we've got.
Sure.
I'd like to see us do more for infrastructure, because if all the towns, cities, states, if they don't all take care of the infrastructure, America will suffer as a whole.
Correct.
So we're looking toward that. And I would, you know, that was my main concern. But you do have to turn it over. The county nominates, I think it's three, and the city nominates three, and then they're turned loose. You have the committees working under them that feed information up. And I like the system. It's a good system. But it breaks into, it's the best thing for me. It's the best way to let all the citizens, you put it on there. And there's a rhyme and reason for what they do. They try to give some projects to each town.
Each district maybe would be a better.
Yeah, each district and each area gets a little something to encourage them to vote for it, because they aim to get enough general consensus.
Sure.
Or there'd be no reason in doing this.
Correct.
So that's, and it's, the rules are set by the state. The county, I asked, could we do this a line item? People get to vote line item what they want, what they don't want. Not an option.
Well, I know that there'll be more discussion once the final proposal is done and they have it listed out as to what's going on. But it's a huge undertaking.
It is. And we've had some people work real hard on this, and I really appreciate the efforts that's been put into this by a lot of people.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too, paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I'm Ann Eller here at my studio at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking with Bob Fisher, who is up for re-election to Greenwood County Council District 7. And, of course, as a small businessman, you bring a different perspective.
I'd like to think I do. Being in business, small business, for 30 years, and actually on the small business side, I'm not stuck in one division. I do everything from work with my own DHEC permits to the accounting and all. So a small business only stays in business by either you've got to do what your competitor does, the same job for less, or you got to give a better service for the same price. And I tried to bring that idea and philosophy to the county council. And doing that, I think, has worked very well, because this county right now is the only county I know of that's paid off its bonded indebtedness.
That was with the extra money from the last penny sales tax, yes.
Well, we had the money, and you couldn't just give it back to citizens because it was a penny sales tax.
Sure.
And the first thing we started looking for what could be done with the money legally, and it was pay down debt. So we paid off all the operational bonded indebtedness, which took a landfill that was running in the red for years, put it running in the black. Also, not is it just running in the black, it's also saving money to open the next sale whenever this sale fills up. It turns right around, and without raising the homeowners' millage rates, we've also gave our employees raises, something that some of our departments have a fairly high turnover rate, and we need to get this corrected, and it's basically through pay. So we've done a lot with out going up on a millage rate, and we've handled the money very wisely over the last several years.
And, you know, I guess all of those have contributed to the county council working together.
It has. I've really enjoyed it. We have a diversity on council that we don't always see the same way. I like to tell people that when we go into executive session, sometimes we fuss like little kids because we have different views. But it has really paid off, because you may be thinking of it, and some person will step up and say, have you thought of this? And everybody goes, oh, really? So instead of having everybody that thinks alike, having the diversity has really paid off.
Yeah, I would think that would be good. If everybody thought the same, it would be kind of boring, wouldn't it?
Yes, be very boring.
Very boring. Now, speaking of that, County Council, here's one thing that I didn't know. I didn't know that all your meetings are live streamed, and Robbie Templeton told me this and told me how recalcitrant I was by not knowing this, but that you stream all your meetings and then you do podcasts of them. I would have only one thing to say about that. I think it ought to be on the front page of the website rather than drilling down through it to find it. So when did that start?
I don't remember the exact date, but I believe it was about 2.5 years ago. And I want to apologize, because it was in the Index Journal. They had an article about it, but I went and watched it. My wife watches it all the time to check up on me to see if she's dressed me appropriately.
see if you're attending the meeting. There you go. Yeah.
But I want to apologize that we didn't do a better job of getting it out to the public.
Sure.
And I think, yes, it should be put on the front page, very direct link. Yeah. That would be a great thing. But we've also, another thing we've done is, if you want to speak at a public meeting, the old way was you had to get on the agenda, which means you had to know almost a week in advance to get out there and sign the papers. Now you walk in, you sign as a piece of paper that says, basically, I'd like to speak. You put down your name, and at the very first of the meeting, you will be called to speak on any subject that's on our agenda. So I think Steve Brown is the one who brought up that idea, and it's been wonderful because it lets people say what's going on. The other thing we've done is we've got our county council has ordinances that were in files for years. Ordinances that have been in the past, just put in a file. So if you want to know what the laws were in this county,
yes,
you were just out of luck.
You had to go look in the file folder?
You had to go look in a file folder.
Okay.
So that's not fair. And they had started, before I got on council, they had started putting some of them on. And I've had a push to have all our ordinances put online. So you can go to municipalcode.com, find the county and all, and you can read what the law is, because how can we enforce something that is not readily available to the citizen?
Well, it becomes pretty haphazard, that's for sure.
Yes, very haphazard.
Absolutely. Hey, I am here with Bob Fisher. He is Greenwood County Council District 7 Councilman, and he would like to be reelected. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Bob about what he sees futuristically and what things that are on the agenda. So you keep it right here. If you've got a question for Bob, don't you hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I'm with Bob Fisher, Greenwood County Council District 7. That includes Hodges, Ware Shoals, and that area there. That's a pretty big rural district. And I know one of your concerns had been, Bob, was the fire district out there and how they were having to deal with it and the cost that it cost everybody that lived out there because there wasn't good coverage from a fire department.
Correct. One of the problems we had is Ware Shoals. Ware Shoals has been for many years a very strong fire department. Plenty of volunteers, well-trained, and they were supported by the town of Ware Shoals. These are not full-time firefighters. These are still volunteers. Now, the fire station they currently have was given to them by Regal Meals, and it was down in a hole, and it is not big enough, and they have been struggling for years. So I started working, trying to find a better location. And this process has been going on for over a year now, just looking for land. The Ware Shoals Community Foundation had a piece of property that's just about perfect location and estimated to be about $20,000 worth of property. Well, they ended up saying, yes, we will give it for the fire department. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Greenwood County comes in and says, hey, we'll build a building. And Ware Shoals comes to the table and says, we'll bring the fire trucks, the firemen. So we'll have a new fire station. What this does is, one is, be a quicker response time, especially for the people on the Greenwood side, because we'll be moving it further into the Greenwood area. Still in the city, still in the town limits, but further into the county. Well, the people there will find themselves within the 5-mile ISO rating change will go from probably around a 10 rating to a 5 rating, which is hundreds of dollars a year less on their homeowner's insurance. So this is a wonderful thing for the people financially. Mm-hmm. It's also a wonderful thing for the fire department because there's just not enough room. These guys have to slide down the wall just to get open door to get in a fire truck.
Down a wall, not down a pole?
They're not sliding down a wall. They've got the wall to the back trying to ease through between things because it's so tight.
Wow.
And they've worked really hard to keep that fire department. It's good of the fire departments. It is just wonderful. These are some really good guys. And when I first started running, I didn't know them. And I've got to know these. And they are really dedicated. Like most of our volunteer fire departments are very dedicated. So I'm just so happy for them. And they are just tickled to death that we're getting ready. We're working right now on the architect to get the plans. We look for it to be similar to the fire department in 96. We're probably going to follow the same basic layout and change a few things to suit Ware Shoals for what they want. Mm-hmm. But it'll be right before you get to the golf course in Ware Shoals.
Okay.
And this is a wonderful thing.
It is a good thing. And so by doing that, any idea on the time frame on that and once the architecture is done on it?
Just a rough idea of how things have been going. We're looking probably about, I'd say, another month for the architect to come out with what the changes, maybe another month to get them finalized, then to be ready for bid. If it's out for bid for a month, that's 3 months. It would be possible by the end of the year, I would think, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the funding is already there and ready to go on that.
We have $400,000 set aside for the funding for the building.
That's terrific. I mean, I don't know if that'll cover it, but that's terrific to have the money in the budget set aside for that.
Yes, we're aiming for that. We're hoping that will work, and it's looking good so far.
Looking good. So overall, this is a big, big win.
It is. Ware Shoals has been needing something to go up there because this has been 15, 20 years in the making. And it didn't look like it was even going to happen. Ware Shoals, the town, has started talking about putting lean-to sheds on some of their other buildings just to put fire trucks in. And I said, please, hold on. Let me keep digging. And it took the rest of my council to come to get behind me. I made a plea to them, please help. Let's get this thing going. And when they saw the need, they did. They came, every last one supported it, said they thought it would be a great addition. And it will fit within our future plans for the fire service.
Now, speaking of that, there's a master fire plan.
Correct.
And what does that mean? We've got Ware Shoals, I guess we could say, is kind of covered now. Would that
yes.
be?
Yes. Yes, that will cover Ware Shoals.
And so what does the master fire plan mean for the rest of the county?
We've got to make adjustments because one of the ISO requirements is to have a fire truck or even a sub-fire department, which is just a truck in a building that has a few requirements. Lawrence County's already done the same thing, and we've got to go and add these in locations, and we intend to get, I'd say, 95% to 98% of our county to get this Class 5 fire coverage.
And that will reduce everybody's insurance that's a homeowner.
Yeah, if you're in a 10, I called my homeowner's insurance, and I said, listen, what would it do? I'm in a 5 because I'm close enough to Hodges. If I was not, if Hodges went away and I was in a 10, what would it do? And he said it'd be $300 to $400 more a year on my homeowner's insurance.
Okay. So depending on what you own, of course, that
right.
would depend. All right. So that's really good news out there in your district. What else is good news for your district or things that maybe you've started working on that you'd like to continue working on that'll be not only good for your district, but also for the county as a whole?
Well, one thing that we're started on is the Lake Greenwood Master Plan. And Monday, my opponent, Mr. Lane, spoke so highly of the Lake Greenwood Master Plan.
Sure.
And he's right. Everything he said about it was totally correct because he lives on the lake, and it will mean even more for him living on the lake. Well, the Greenwood Master Plan, I was involved with it from the start.
Okay.
Worked with it. I went to some of the meetings and had input. And this whole thing grew, and it now encompasses and brought in a whole other thing that Lawrence County now is working with us, mm-hmm. so we're all on the same page. The betterment of the lake, life at the lake, it's going to be a wonderful thing. And let me just say that to Mr. Lane that's so happy for it, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. This was a good thing. It really went well, and I'm glad to be part of this from the beginning.
So the future of the lake, it's good.
It is. It really is. The Lake Greenwood, there was a thing for many years that Greenwood had zoning. Greenwood had a lot of things that we were doing that Lawrence didn't do. Mm-hmm. And now Lawrence is slowly coming around to this. They now want to start drawing out of the lake. So now they're really concerned as far as the quality of the water. And in the survey, when they surveyed, I think it's around 1,000 people, the number one concern for the people, by far, was the environment of the water, the quality that we control our environment so the water stays clean. Because mm-hmm. if your lake is nasty and dirty, then you don't have anything.
Well, and that goes along with upstate and the watershed. And, I mean, that all flows into a bigger project, bigger program. And Greenwood, of course, is part of that.
Yes. Upstate Forever mm-hmm. comes up. I've been to a good many of these Citizens for Preserving Lake Greenwood. It's been going. They're a quiet group mostly, mm-hmm. but they're very concerned about the lake. There's some really good people. They meet at the CPW's office once a month. And they have been working for a long time, and they were very excited when the master plan came along too, and they helped tremendously. But the Upstate Forever looks out for the whole area.
Correct.
And they're very concerned about the water quality everywhere in the upstate. And this is very important to us because what happens upstream out of our control,
right,
flows downstream to us.
Sure, exactly.
And that's been a big help to have that kind of support.
So other things that will be coming to the lake, are we talking about a lot of development?
Well, I've heard of everything from hot dog stands to a massive hotel, conference center, restaurants. There was even, I think, a permit at one time drawn for a go-kart path under Highway 72 to connect to both sides of the road.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yes.
So there's lots of
things. There's been a lot of planning for this.
A lot of planning. Well, one thing for sure, Connect Lake Greenwood certainly has done a lot of good things. The lighting that's going to go on the bridges now, and of course, they're trying to show somebody that might be interested in coming here how important it is for food, because again, this Saturday they're going to have a big different businesses will be there doing lunch from out there at Cawthorn Bridge. So it's a good thing to see development.
Well, we used to have Blazers, and Blazers was such a unique place. It wasn't your everyday restaurant,
right?
And you went out there, and Britt did a wonderful job with some, you know, fantastic. It was the place to go for before you went to your prom or something like that. And it went away, and it was a local institution.
Correct.
And nothing's come along to touch that. We've had small sandwich shops, but nothing has come close to that. And I think a lot of us that grew up in Greenwood kind of want something like that to come back.
I agree.
So it's a destination to go to. Even if you're not on a boat, it's a destination. Or when we're out there pontooning around, you can go to the Subway and get a sandwich.
Right, exactly. All right, well, we're talking about a lot of different things. We're going to be talking about some higher education and keeping taxes low and, who knows what else we'll get in with. But all you got to do is pick up that phone and call us if you've got a question, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. My very special guest today, Bob Fisher, Greenwood County Council, District 7. We'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
You know, one of the new things that is out there that is happening, which is definitely a good thing, I'm Ann Eller, by the way, here with Bob Fisher, is the Greenwood Promise that is going to help get more education for our citizens, the young graduating from high school. I know they've been raising a lot of funds. You see it in the paper all the time, all the businesses and organizations that are coming on board. Bob, now, County Council, education, where do they stand on these issues?
Well, the Greenwood Promise is a wonderful thing, and it is based off of the Kalamazoo Promise, which is some very rich people donated a lot of money to create an endowment. Mm-hmm. And they take the interest off this endowment, and the kids that are graduating seniors from the local high schools, they apply to the local technical college. And when they get all of their grant money and all of the stuff that's available,
sure,
the Greenwood Promise is supposed to pick up the rest.
Which is the same as the Kalamazoo program that you're talking
about. Yeah. That is correct. And we had a unanimous vote by the councilman that we support this. We think it's a great thing. I think what a lot of people don't understand, because people are saying, why don't you do anything to help? Piedmont Tech was started in 1966 or somewhere about. Mm-hmm. And all the counties, it's not a Greenwood thing. This is a multi-county
Correct.
Educational facility.
Correct.
And all the counties around us have a millage. But what a lot of people don't realize is our millage raises, we pay about $1 million more than the rest of the counties. And the reason we do this is so the citizens of Greenwood can get a discount on their educations. So what this has done is, if you were, say, sitting in a class beside somebody from Abbeville, mm-hmm. same course, you're paying about $500 less than they are, because Greenwood has this millage set this high for Piedmont Tech. And it's been going on for years, well before me, and I definitely support it. So we're already putting $1 million more, basically, than any county around us into higher education. And people just didn't know it. Okay. So between what we already substitute, and what we're doing is using a millage, where they have an endowment. And their endowment is specified for just graduating students.
Right.
Well, if you've been out of school for a couple of years and you decide you want to further your education, it doesn't help you. But what Greenwood does, it goes to all our citizens to help all our citizens get a higher education at a value.
Because everybody has to pay taxes.
That's correct. Everybody's paying the taxes, so everybody should have the right.
Right.
So that's why what we're doing, I think, is just people don't know about it. It's been so quiet for so long that no one advertised it.
No one advertised it. Well, that is an important point. Now, the Greenwood Promise certainly is going to help even more people, more kids graduating, and give them a direction to be able to go. So that's an excellent, excellent thing. But
yes.
The very fact that, actually, I didn't know that Greenwood's citizens could get a discount when they go out there to Piedmont Tech.
Well, they do. And you don't get it for free, but at the same time, if you give someone too much free, they quite often don't appreciate it.
That's true.
So, and it's not fair that the people who don't get an education have to pay all for someone
sure.
else. So it's a nice balance between.
Sure.
And the citizens of Greenwood do have a lot of wonderful opportunities, because we have not just Piedmont Tech. We have Lander as a local institution, and we're not that far from plenty of other
Well, that's true.
First-rate institutions. So there's a lot of options for the people in Greenwood. But Piedmont Tech fulfills a special need for us, like we're talking about the specialized training for local industry. And that's going to be very valuable when these new industries come in. And we can't really speak about them because they're under the covenant of, this is what's coming up. But there's a lot of rumors out flying around. And I'm not going to say whether the rumors are true or not, but there's a lot of good things lined up to come to Greenwood, and I'm looking very forward to see some of these jobs kick in, because there's some high paying jobs coming this way, and that's what we're needing. We don't just need new companies to come in. We need to help the existing companies and then bring in new companies that have high paying wages.
Absolutely, because that's what keeps our young people here.
Correct.
And also brings more people to our area.
Correct.
Yes, absolutely. So, good things on education. We've talked about the lake. Keeping taxes low. You know, I think everybody likes to keep their taxes low, but how do you keep them low and have needs that you would like to spend on as county council members?
Well, we have to decide what money do we have and what can we do with it. The new 1 cent sales tax, if it passes, my biggest concern was that it fixed the fire system, but it will bring in some more good things. The idea that you take your millage and keep it as low as possible, try not to raise it. And that's worked really good, because I think we've gotten, like I say, our employees' raises without raising the millage. We've gotten out of bonded indebtedness, and I'd like to stay out of debt, because that's one of the biggest things, you know, because you end up paying interest on something.
Sure.
So that's gone a long way. And we take the budgets. There used to be a deal that budgets went to committee, different things, and we did away with that when I got elected. We now sit full council and go with the full budget. And it's tiring and it's boring, but it's important. And we've seen the results, because when we're sitting there, we're thinking, you know, maybe we can change this or maybe we can change that. And we found some ways to cut corners without cutting services. And it's a hard thing to do, because everybody wants to say, well, the government should just cut out waste. And yes, I agree, when you can find it. But in these extreme budgets we have, there's not as much waste as people want to think is there, because there's some expensive cost. You've got to realize this county, not the schools and all this, but this county operates on only about $20 million a year. That's our budget to operate off of. Schools have a whole lot more money and a whole lot bigger part of your budget. When you look at your local, when your taxes, your property taxes, the vast majorities go to schools. Then start looking at how much the county actually gets to run the county. It's pretty tight.
pretty tight. All right. Well, so keeping taxes low, is that something you're going to be able to keep working on, Bob?
I hope. And my fellow council members have been very serious about it, and we've looked over it. And we go to Toby, and Toby starts saying, what do you want to do in the budget? And Toby's got a very unenviable job. His job is, it's nerve-wracking, because you've got seven people saying, I want this, I want this. But we've got to the point of, what can we do to keep the millage rate where it is, not jack up the taxes, and still meet our demands? What is required of us? Can we still do it? And I've got to hand it to him. He's done a really good job on bringing us budgets we can work with.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we are coming up to the top of the hour here, Bob Fisher, and I know you would like to go back to council. You are in the primary race on Tuesday. So what would you like? I'll give you 2 minutes here to tell the folks why they should vote for you and return you to council.
Very good. The reason is effectiveness. I have been, I think, extremely effective as a councilman. It's very simple. The Hodges area, the air is cleaner than it's been in 7 years, and I've been effective at that. Ware Shoals has a new fire station they've been wanting for 15 to 20 years, and that's coming along. We've got our employees' raises without raising the millage. We've paid off bonded indebtedness. So I feel I've been very effective as a councilman. Now, I didn't do it all myself. I've got 6 members that I worked with. But I think we have been very effective, and I think I've been a big part of that. And the Hodges Ware Shoals area, District 7, is my home. I've lived here my entire life, and it's at my heart. And I want to reach out to the people that I've known all these years, and I want to continue to serve them. I want to work for the people of my district and do what's best for them. And I would appreciate their vote Tuesday.
June 14th. All right,
yes.
Bob Fisher. Now, if somebody wants to talk to you, you have any problem giving them your telephone number to call you?
No, it's been on my literature. It's
377-1029. 377-1029. You know, you've got 2 events this evening, I understand.
Yes.
That's right. You are listening right here to WCRS right here in Greenwood. You've got 2 events. Are you going to be at both of them this evening?
Yes, I will leave here and go to the Multicultural Center in Hodges, and from there leave and go to the American Legion, where the Assistance for Better Government is having a forum.
That's right. So that one, of course, starts at 6. The Multicultural starts
Correct.
At 6 and goes till 8 o'clock if you're interested. This is, you're coming down on your final opportunities other than one-on-one talking to the candidates. That is there going on from 6 to 8. And then back there, Citizens for Better Government at the American Legion. That one will be from 7 to 8:30. And I'm sure you will be there if somebody wants to talk to you, ask you questions. You'd love to talk to them.
Yes, be glad to.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Bob Fisher, as we've said to all the candidates, good luck. And the primary is Tuesday. You can vote absentee. Tomorrow is what day? What day are we at here? We're on Thursday. Friday. So you can vote absentee tomorrow. You can also vote absentee on Saturday from, 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock in voter registration office. So if you aren't going to be here on Tuesday, please make sure you vote. Hey, I am Ann Eller. This is WCRS. Bob, good luck, and thanks for coming out this afternoon.
Thank you for having me on the air, Ann.
All right. And Gracie says goodbye, everybody.